The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again on Red Eye Radio. It's been an absolute delight talking to you the last couple of nights. For those who are just tuning in tonight, first night we talked about, is there a civil war in this country between the left and the right? I mean, it's not the only thing we talked about, but I want to give you a theme. On the second night, we were talking about the fact that there's such a battle that they wanted to get Trump. You know, Kavanaugh, we mentioned Kavanaugh a lot, but the real goal was to impeach President Trump, and we're going to talk about that too tonight. For those who don't know me, I filled in on Red Eye Radio in September, but I also fill in on another major network show. I've been doing that over a decade. I had my own shows in Los Angeles, including on the Westwood One affiliate, 790 KBC. So I love taking your calls, and we did it last night at 866-90-RED-EYE. But you can also keep in touch with me and see where I am on the air next, or check my webpage out at themarkeislershow.com. And there you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Or if it's easier for you, markeisler@AOL.com, M-A-R-K-I-S-L-E-R, at AOL.com. So tonight there are a lot of news stories I want to talk to you about, but one of the things which ties into the other nights is the Democrats have made it very clear that they're poised to draft articles of impeachment, with the Washington Post ABC reporting that nearly 50% of Americans support immediate impeachment hearings. Of course, we got to take these polls lightly. We know how wrong the polls were last time. I think there were only two that predicted President Trump would win and become president. So they're trying to keep this somewhat under the radar because they know many moderate and conservative voters would vote against their candidates if they knew what they were up to. If they knew, as I pointed out, the next 2 years are going to be chaos if they win the House of Representatives. Subpoena power, hearings, impeachment hearings, they'll start on after Trump. You know, of course, they're going to go for his taxes. They'll go to get Kavanaugh. It's going to be a disaster if they win. And you may remember this, Minority Leader Schumer, during a parade, he denied that this is what he thought he was asked, talking about impeachment when he said the sooner the better. Later on, he said, oh, I thought they were asking me when we'd get rid of Trump. And Minority Leader Pelosi has said it's not a priority now unless something else comes forward. But, of course, Maxine Waters has no such restraints, calling continuously for the impeachment of 45. She thinks that's a genius line because that's about all. If you know Maxine Waters, I know of her and I've met her. That's about her intelligence level. That's about as high as she can go. So I want to know what you think. Do you think that, you know, what this is going to be like the next 2 years if they win the House? And a lot of people were very optimistic last night. They said that they think there's not going to be a blue wave, that the Republicans are going to do pretty well. But let me know what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE. But other political news that I never got to yesterday and I wanted to, but it's still in the news tonight, that Senator Elizabeth Warren, you may have heard this, she made a huge mistake. She had DNA evidence to show she truly was related to Pocahontas. Actually, she didn't say that. I said that. Actually, Trump said that. I got it from him. Actually, what it showed, she has some Native American ancestry in the range of 6 to 10 generations ago, which means she could be anywhere from 1/64th to 1/1024th Native American, which incidentally may be lower than many other Europeans or Hispanics or Black Americans in terms of being related if you go back 6 to 10 generations. So instead of putting this issue to bed, it may have just stoked the fires. And in fact, you may have heard the Cherokee Nation responded to the results of her test, arguing, quote, a DNA test is useless to determine tribal citizenship. The response came after the Democratic Senate revealed that based on tests, she has Native American ancestry, as I said, in the range of 6 to 10 generations ago. So the Cherokee Nation Secretary of State said in a press release, current DNA tests do not even distinguish whether a person's ancestors were indigenous to North or South America. And they set their own legal requirements for citizenship, and DNA tests, while they can be used to determine lineage, such as paternity to an individual, he said it's not evidence for tribal affiliation. Using a DNA test just doesn't do it. And that wasn't enough. President Obama's former campaign manager Monday sharply criticized her for releasing the results of this test. Back Emperor claims that she has Native American ancestry. He claimed she was throwing her party off message just weeks before November's critical midterm election. She did. It wasn't a smart move. He said, there's a quote from a Democrat, argue the substance all you want, but why 22 days before a crucial election where we must win House and Senate to save America, why did Senator Warren have to do her announcement now? That was former President Barack Obama's 2012 campaign manager, Jim Messina. Why can't Democrats ever stay focused, Adam Messina, who's also served as Deputy White House Chief of Staff. So Warren, a likely 2020 presidential contender, is an overwhelming favorite to win re-election in Massachusetts in November. When it first became widely known, you may remember she was running against Scott Brown in a tight Senate campaign, but most voters didn't seem to care. Well, now it looks like they are going to care because, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Did Indians do that? I don't think so. Melvin asked MSNBC anchor. MSNBC anchor, not Fox News, also panned Warren's decision to release her DNA results on air Monday during an interview with the Boston Globe. And here's a quote. Did Warren gain anything by putting out the DNA test results? Melvin asked. The best I can gather, according to the paper's reporting, she's 1,000, something like that. I think I might just be as Native American as she is. And he goes on, I don't know who my great-great-great-great-grandmother or grandfather is, this guy responded, noting that Warren's claimed heritage was pretty far back. Meanwhile, New York Times reporter wrote sarcastically on Twitter, President Trump is sure to stop mocking Senator Warren about her ancestry now that she's provided definitive proof. Can you say, stepping into further, instead of putting this behind her, she may have put it out front? How many of you, if you did this, can go back that many generations and maybe you'll find, I don't know, you're an ancestor of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, who knows else? Do you realize what that means to go back six generations? Let me know if you think she just eliminated herself from the 2020 race. I think this is huge. You remember when Ted Kennedy, it was the favorite to run for president, and then they asked him, why are you running for president? And his answer was no answer. He couldn't think of it. He hadn't thought about that. You know, he was just next in line. He was the Kennedy. So let me know what you think, 866-90-RED-EYE. And speaking of people who've lost, I wanted to catch up on this too. Michael Avenatti has lost another one. So you heard that yesterday. Stormy Daniels' libel lawsuit over a tweet by Trump accusing her of a total con job was thrown out by a judge who said the president was engaging in free speech. The adult film star, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, claims she was threatened by an unknown man in the Las Vegas parking lot in 2011 for agreeing to cooperate with a magazine article about a tryst she said she had with Trump in 2006. After her lawyer released a composite sketch of the man, Trump accused Clifford in a tweet of a total con job concerning a non-existent man. And the court said, we agree with Mr. Trump's argument because the tweet in question constitutes rhetorical hyperbole, normally associated with politics and public discourse. So Trump's lawyer said this was a total win. But against Avenatti, this guy never gives up. Oh, we're going to appeal. You remember, if you don't remember, he's the one that, I think her name was Swetnick, that she accused Kavanaugh of being part of a ring that allowed gang rape, I think, by people. And even the New York Times didn't print that because there was no evidence. So you can see where I may be headed. I want to know who you... on both sides, who you'd like to see to be your nominee if you're a Democrat, and if on the other side, who would you like to see to be the nominee because you think it would help us so much. So let me throw, before I throw some names out, did you hear that great phony Kamala Harris has booked her first 2020 ticket to Iowa? By the way, I think that Warren did that because she's so afraid of all the publicity the others like Kamala Harris and the Spartacus Booker, that's what I call him now, you know, he had the Spartacus moment, which wasn't even correct, of course, because the Senate, if you remember, had already printed the information. But I think she's so afraid of these people that she figured, oh, I'll put this behind me and I'll be ready to run. No, she did just the opposite. Anyway, Kamala Harris will travel for the first time this year to the First in the Nation caucus on October 22nd and 23rd as she prepares for a potential presidential run. Harris, a California Democrat, will make appearances in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids with other stops to follow. And then South Carolina, So following the visits, Harris will have appeared in 3 of 4 early primary states this election cycle. So here's the names. Here are the names. You can put out any name you want. Here are the names that I was thinking about. There's Spartacus Booker, you know, Cory Booker, if you don't know who I'm referring to. Former Attorney General Eric Holder. Did you see over the weekend he said Michelle Obama had said when we, meaning people on my side, go low, they go higher. And Eric Holder said, no, that's just the opposite. We go down too. We fight, we shoot, whatever he said. And, of course, is Bernie Sanders, young Bernie Sanders. He'll be running again. He's the favorite of many. Senator Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. Now, Vice President Joe Biden in polls shows that he's kind of the leader up there. Maybe, you know, often in politics it's name recognition more than anything else. You got New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who there's a winner. She loved Bill Clinton and thought he was terrific until he was maybe someone you didn't want to mention after the Me Too movement. So there's someone, you know, don't trust her. Watch your back if you're around her. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, I didn't even know he was running. That's not a good sign, and I'm a talk show host. Former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, and he doesn't have much of a chance, but we know who he is. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. By the way, you know why a lot of these people run? They run because then their speaking fees go up hugely. I remember after Jack Kemp ran for vice president, his speaking fees, and I want everybody on the staff to hear this, became $50,000 a speech. So if you wonder why these people run, there are huge benefits even if they don't win. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown. Actually, what about Kasich? He's really a Democrat. I wonder why he's not running on that side. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, right? You know him. And there's another one I know his name. I can't imagine what chance he thinks he has. New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu. L.A. Mayor, that's my mayor, Eric Garcetti. These people have delusions of grandeur. I mean, you know, come on. You're mayor of Los Angeles. The homeless situation is just awful. I don't know what he's thinking, except he wants the publicity, the power. And, of course, you heard about Oprah Winfrey, but it doesn't look like she's running. But with her name recognition, you know, the others will have to take a back step. Lawyer Michael Avenatti, or as Tucker Carlson from Fox calls him, the sleazy porn lawyer. As time goes on, I think he came up with a good one there. Now, I bet you didn't know this one. Montana Governor Steve Bullock. I don't think I know him. Who's your pick? Like you, I never heard of some of these. But heck, they could increase their speaking fees. And if you're on the other side, who would you like to face if you're on my side? Let me know at 866-90-RED-EYE. That is 866-907-3339. It's time. They're already running, and we haven't even gotten through the elections for the House and the Senate. But that's coming up in a few weeks. But by the way, as I said last night, and this ties it all together, I think they're all wasting their time. They're delusional. President Trump is going to be reelected. They are going to be so surprised. But again, if they get the publicity, the name recognition, the power, that all that stuff goes to the heads. Let me know what you think. It's Mark Eisler sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Back with you again and taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE. That is 866-907-3339. I want to know who your choice is for the Democratic nomination for president. Whichever side you're on, you have a lot of people to choose from, as I read you a list. And I think their chances are worse than the winning the Mega Millions, which is a good segue. I wanted to announce that to you. The winning numbers of the largest Mega Millions drawing in the game's history have been announced. The numbers drawn Tuesday night were 69, 45, 61, 3, and 49, and the Mega Ball was 9. I wouldn't have picked any of those numbers. And the, what was that? Brian? Oh, sure. I got to do it again. 69, 45, 61, 3, 49. And the Mega Ball was 9. As if my producer has those numbers. That's why he told me to do it slower. Tonight's potential record jackpot is worth $667 million, or a cash lump sum of $380 million. Now, think about that. I would take, be interesting to ask you what you would do. I take the cash lump sum and go home. No winners have been announced yet. I think they do that in a couple of hours. If no one wins Tuesday's drawing, the jackpot will rise to $868 million for Friday's drawing. See, I don't do that stuff because, you know, your odds are just so tremendous against you. But, you know, there's always got to be one winner. And speaking of winners, well, it's not quite the same, but let's go to Michael in Washington, D.C. Michael, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's I got something that's short and sweet, and that's just presidential candidate Trump said something that made my wife and me both real happy with him. It's not season's greetings. It's Merry Christmas.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. When that time comes, I say to everybody, Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's right off the bat. That's exactly, I didn't think he'd do any better than that, and he did. He came out and said, I don't believe in political correctness. I mean, you can't beat it.
No, we've gone through, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's all I got to say, short and sweet, you know, that's an American.
Yeah, that is American. And what I was going to say in response to what you said is that I love saying Merry Christmas to people. And often you disarm them. And, you know, they all say back to you, Merry Christmas, right? But they've been so trained now. It's not just Merry Christmas. The whole, as you said, the whole politically correct movement, which is you got to be so careful what you say and what you do. I teach part-time, which I think I've mentioned a number of times. And to my assistant principal one day, I said, oh, what a nice dress. And I thought, uh-oh, did you step in it like Elizabeth Warren? Did you say something, you know, that's going to get you in big trouble? Look where we've come. When I first started teaching, I teach adults, but I taught elementary school, and in those days you could hug a kid. You know, it didn't mean anything, you know, especially we played a lot of sports together. These days you can't do any of that. In fact, you cannot be alone in a room with a female. The door has to be wide open, a female student. I'm not sure about the male students. I think the same rules apply. Can you imagine that? You've got to be so concerned about, and this relates to what we've been talking about, that someone will accuse you of something that you didn't do. And there are teachers all the time accused of things that they didn't do. We call it in Los Angeles the, I think, rubber room. The good news is they get paid the same amount. So they sit around for months. They sit around for years. This is the bad news. You can't get rid of a bad teacher if they did do something bad. But if they didn't, you can be accused of anything and everything. And it happens all the time. And where do you go, as I said the other night, where do you go to get your reputation back? This whole politically correct movement, is, as Trump said, he's not going to be politically correct. To me, it stinks. It's just, is America a better place? I don't think so. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE and same number, 866-907-3339. But now your national forecast for Cobra Electronics.
Weather highlights around the nation today. Persistent rain is expected for the next few days over Texas, where excessive rain is possible in the central part of the state. Wintry precipitation over the higher elevations of Arizona and New Mexico is expected to spread northward into the central Rockies. Temperatures 20 to 40 degrees below normal from the southern plains into the southern Rockies under persistent clouds and precip. Santa Ana winds in southern California over the next several days should gradually abate. Around the horn, we've got New York City checking in with sunshine for later today and 60 the high. Chicago only 47 today. Atlanta 71 with showers. Dallas showers and 59. Now, that'll beat yesterday's high of in the high 40s for Dallas. Los Angeles will see sunny skies, high today 82. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I want to know who your choice is for President Trump to run against in 2020. Let me know, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again, and we're taking your calls, as he said, at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339, the same number. And we're asking you, but you know, if you have other ideas, I'm always open to it, but we're asking you who your choice is for president. And I just on the Democrat side, I just realized I didn't say Hillary Clinton. I don't think we're done. You can never get rid of the Clintons. You have them forever. That was the deal I made last night with someone. Someone said, why isn't she locked up? Why isn't she prosecuted? And I said, I've said on the air in the past, if she and Bill would agree to go away, and maybe as a trifecta take Barack Obama with them, if we can make that deal, I'd be willing to let her get off. I know a lot of you would be unhappy with me if I say that, but I said it. So you let me know what you think about that, too. Should we reopen the investigation of Hillary Clinton? And of course, I know what some of you are going to say, which is she's not above the law. But you know, we already have a civil war in this country, which is what we discussed the other night. You got to make the stuff work. So is she above the law? No, but certain times it pays to ask what's best for America. And let's see what you think. Charles in New York City, you're on with Mark.
Yes, hi, Mark. First, I'd like to say it's the first time that I'm hearing you, and you sound like you really know what you're talking about, and you have a very pleasant voice. I would like to say several things. First of all, I'm going to predict something which I'm sure almost all of your listeners are going to be happy to hear it if they believe what I'm going to say is going to happen. I predict that we have right now 51-49 as far as the Senate goes. We're gonna gain 4 seats minimum, and maybe even more. We're gonna have 55 all the way up to 60 possibly. As far as the House, it's a little trickier because of the suburbs and because of redistricting, but we'll keep the House for sure. Why do I say that with such definiteness? Or maybe I'm crazy, but I'm not, because what happened last time in 2016. Why did Trump win? And nobody believed that he would win, right? Everybody was afraid to say, I'm going to vote for Trump. So even the exit polls, if I remember correctly, they thought that you know, Hillary won, because those that voted for Trump avoided the survey, or they lied to the survey. Now, people were afraid to tell the truth then that they wanted Trump. Now they're petrified. So how can you believe
it's gotten worse? Yeah.
Much worse. Then they were afraid. Now they're petrified to say, you know, they're afraid to wear a hat. Notice, nobody is afraid to say, I voted for Obama or I voted for Hillary. Nobody's afraid to say that. Nobody. It's amazing. You have the lowlifes only on one side. It's absolutely ridiculous. In addition to the Kavanaugh thing, is like heaven sent. Why? And by the way, everybody is saying that the base got invigorated. You know, and they're now excited. And nobody says another point, which you have the people that were on the fence, they finally had to see that the media is totally in collusion, speaking about collusion, not Trump with Russia, but the media with the Democrats. I think it's as big a blow that Kavanaugh became a justice, thank God, with the skin of his teeth. But that he became justice, I think the left and the media are crying over this as much as they were crying in 2016 when Trump won. But it's like people are absolutely petrified. Also in America and in Israel, and I've been following politics in both countries very closely, the left always, the right, let me put it this way, the right always does 3 to 6% better than the predictions. 98%, if not 100%, always. Like in Israel, that terrorist labor was going to win. Same thing, because the media is extremely left in America, like 96% or something like that. And the same thing is true in Israel. And there's no question we're going to win. But what Kavanaugh did over here, you have Eric Erickson, I think his name is on his blog. Then you have Brett Stevens from the New York Times, he used to write in the Wall Street Journal, and other no-Trumpers. No-Trumpers, absolutely not. They switched. They're saying, well, I'm going to vote for Trump, because their eyes got opened. So there's no way in the world Trump, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen from now till then. God forbid there can be something negative about Trump. I don't know what can happen. But as things are the way they are now, we're going to win big. There's no question about it. The House is tricky, but we're going to win that. Keep the House, definitely, and we're going to get 55 or more. Also, most people are probably not aware of this, but in the Senate, there's 24 Republicans, Democrats are running, and 9, I think, Republicans. If you're running, you can lose your seat. So they have a bigger chance of losing the seat, and they're going to lose. In 2 years, we're in trouble because it's the other way around. But anyways, that's not interesting for now.
But Charles, you are very good, not just because you said some nice things about me. So I want to react to it and have a dialogue with you. You're good. We had a lot of talk yesterday about this kind of stuff, especially with the signs, people saying they're afraid, of course, to have a Trump sign in their yard, or let alone on your car, because it'll get keyed. I live in California. There's no hope. Actually, you're in New York City. It's just
as
bad.
I live in New York, so I'm surrounded by lefties just like you are. Maybe you're worse.
Yes, so, yeah, I don't know, but you may be worse. But yesterday I got more optimism in terms of the House because a lot of people felt like you did that we could win the House. But here are the rejoinders. I mentioned his race because I know him pretty well. Dana Rohrabacher, who's been there 20 years in Orange County, which used to be the bastion of conservatism in California. It's not anymore. And they're pouring in so much money on the other side that I know people who know him much better than I do who are close to him. That he's worried. So the House, as you know, there are individual races, there are individual elections across the country. And you're right. The experts say that the Republican side is going to lose the House. And there may not be the blue wave they're talking about, but I'm concerned, but cautiously optimistic. And maybe it'll be very tight and we'll still win the House. You're definitely right about the Senate.
I'm telling you. First of all, people are absolutely nuts about Trump as I am. Why? People said about George W., right, the son. He's a murderer, he's a murderer, he's a murderer. He didn't respond. We're all going crazy. Answer back, damn it. And the Republicans finally also caught on. All of a sudden, I understand yesterday McConnell got a standing ovation out of the Senate.
Yeah.
Nobody really liked him because they don't fight back. They're afraid to be smeared. They don't defend another guy if a Republican gets smeared because they're afraid they're going to be next. So Republicans, and most of them are not on the same page. Democrats have the same talking points. They all say the exact same thing, one after the other, together with the media. But Trump fights back. He doesn't condescend either. He doesn't give a damn about political correctness. You said earlier you have to be careful. You can't be careful. What's kosher yesterday isn't kosher today. Whatever you say, they're really sick. Like Michael Savage always says, you know, it's a mental disease. Now, they ask a five-year-old girl if you're a boy, or a girl, I don't know if I'm living in the right country. It's like the Democrats were normal people, JFK, Kennedy, Democrats, those days.
Well, now it's a different Democrat. Today it's a different Democrat. If you're a Democrat,
no,
you know JFK
all,
Democrat.
They're actually beholden, not the right word. In other words, the extreme left of the party, the 25% of the Democrat Party that's very left, I'm sure they're threatening that the others have to go along with them. They're forced to become left. You listen to Cory Booker, Spartacus, right? All these guys, I mean, they're all insane because they have to. Like Feinstein had to pull what she pulled with the Kavanaugh, thank God that she did, because she's running against, I believe, somebody that's so left. They're calling her not left enough.
On the other show that I fill in for occasionally, I mentioned that in California, I'm urging people to vote against Feinstein, even though the guy's further left, because she's got to have some consequences for what she did. What she did was outrageous. You know, she used to be the so-called more moderate than Barbara Boxer. She's gone off the deep end now. That whole thing with the letter and Kavanaugh, that was outrageous. Before I let you go, I want you to tell me which Democrat you'd like to see run against President Trump.
Against Trump, it doesn't make a difference. There's nobody there. They're all octogenarians. there's nobody there. I mean, it's like Bernie will be like, what, 75, 76? And I'm blanking out the Vice President Biden. Joe Biden will be, what, 74, 75? They don't have a bench because...
They do.
Obama,
Cory Booker, Kamala Harris.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. They have Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. They got some young people there. Eric Garcetti, delusional.
Yes, that's true. But I don't think they have a chance in hell against Trump. Trump has something I've never seen anyone ever have. He has a hunch, and he's right, like 98% of the time. He just sees in advance, I've never seen such a thing. It's like, let's say the football thing, you know, with the kneeling, Copernicus, whatever his name is.
Right.
A lot of right-wingers in the radio shows were saying, why did he have to start off with them? He knew he's going to win. How did he know that? You know, all of a sudden, the NFL, whatever, lost a lot of money. People weren't going. How did Trump know it's worth starting that fight? Okay, first of all, he's a real patriot, and he didn't like what they were doing. But somehow he just – how did he know to pick Nikki Haley? God bless her. I wish she would stay for another 2 years or more. Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, I think – she had no experience in foreign policy, none whatsoever.
You're right. You're right.
And
yeah, you're right.
And she did phenomenal. I mean, you can't fill her shoes. Nobody can. I don't see how anybody can fill her shoes. How? I mean, even, what's his name, National Security Advisor, Bolton, right? He's fantastic. But
he is fantastic.
The way Nikki Haley, what she did in the UN, she turned over the whole damn thing. God bless. How did Trump know that she'd be great? I have no idea.
Well, I got to say this to you, Charles. You're very articulate. You're very good. Just don't, you know, challenge me to be a talk show host. It sounds like you're good enough to do that. Thanks, Charles.
How did you figure out what I was doing?
You're a delight. Thanks so much, Charles. You have a great night. And look, you know, it didn't even matter that he said very good things about him. That's not why I kept him on so long. Well, you got to think about that. But I want to know who you think. You know, we'll take your calls on whatever topic you want to talk about that's in the news, and I'm going to throw a lot of topics out. But let me know what you think of which of these presidential candidates. He may be right. I think he is right, Charles. I don't think it matters. I think President Trump, I want you Democrats out there especially to call me. Tell me why President Trump is not going to win. We had people last night who called and said, you know, we were crazy with Kavanaugh and some other things around that. Tell me why. I'll treat you very well. I'm very good that way. I want to hear what you have to say. And, you know, tell me at least why you think President Trump is going to lose and what most bothers you about him. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Mark Geisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Mark Geisler back with you again. You can reach me at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. And Carol in Cedar Falls has been waiting a long time. So, Carol, you're on with Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I am Carol. And this is kind of off the subject, but I was so enthused about this. I went to see the movie tonight called Gazelle.
Gazelle.
This was the abortion doctor. In early 2013 when he finally was convicted. And that movie, they encouraged everyone to tell everyone to go see that movie. It is just astounding. It's
What was so special about it?
There was the special thing about it is that people came forward that this man was a murderer of unborn babies, born alive. And it's a story to tell. It's a true story. And I think it's very important this upcoming election. And like in our first district here in Iowa, we have a Congressman, Rod Blom, who's running, who is pro-life against Abby Thingenbauer, who voted against the, we had a clause here, law in Iowa for, you know, basically, you know, limiting when babies could be aborted.
So I get the idea that, you know, it was a very powerful movie, and I've heard that from other people, and you're highly recommending that they see that. I get it. Let's try to see if we have time. Alex in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You're on with Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Well.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the liberal policies. Now, essentially, if you enact the liberal policies, such as the social justice warriors or affirmative action, how it pretty much eats itself. I don't know if you heard, but there is a group of Asian Americans that are suing Harvard. And what they're suing Harvard over is pretty much that they have to have better scores because Harvard says that they only accept so many Asian Americans because they want to include other races. Essentially, what that's doing is you're eating yourself. You're pretty much enacting policies that are going to you end up fighting your own cause.
Yeah, well, what it is, thanks for your call. What it is racism, reverse racism. You're not supposed to do it based on race. Or if all Asians are successful, I want them to go to get in and be the ones chosen. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Mark Eisler.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler. This is Red Eye Radio.
Yes, and I'm Mark Eisler, back with you again. I'm with you all week. I was with you in September, and Gary and Eric will be back with you Sunday night, Monday morning. It's been terrific taking your calls and listening to your point of view. And I said I love people on the other side, so I'm going to go to Fred in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Fred, you're on with Mark. Are you on the other side?
Well, you asked the question about maybe Trump not making it in 2020, right? So
no, I said he was going to make it, but yeah.
Well, it's here's the reason that he may not. Okay. Depending on the amount of dirt that Mueller pulls up, there's a whole bunch of people in the never Trump category in the Republican Party that are going to jump ship, and if that's the case, Mr. Trump is gone. The Democrats put up a dead dog, and it might work. So
I think it's very small, the never Trumpers, and they're diminishing. I just don't see they're infinitesimal.
That could be true, but if it's not, he's gone. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, who would you like to see?
Trump always does.
Yeah. Who would you like to see as the Democrat candidate?
The only one that makes any sense is Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that makes any sense. In terms of all the people that didn't vote for Hillary the last time around that voted for Trump might vote for him.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
I
appreciate. Thanks, Fred. Yeah, no. He was saying just his opinion. I think he's right. I think if Joe Biden had run, it would have been much tighter. It was tight as it was in terms of popular vote. Hillary won, although that was mostly California, my state. I think. What did he do? He was like she beat him by 4 million votes here. I did it alone here. People, I don't want to pick on people who live in California, but you know it's always been the land of fruit and nuts and honey. What is that? I can't think of the expression. But Joe Biden would have put up a much better race. I mean, you really had to go far for Hillary to be the candidate and to lose. I mean, she was just a terrible candidate. And I here's something out there. I think she's going to run again. I don't trust her to disappear, as I said the first hour. I think you're going to get her running again. She can't give up. How could someone who put up with Bill Clinton for all those years... You put up a lot for power, right? I think there was a book, I had him on the air, Partners in Power. Can't think of who wrote it. That was power. They seek power and, of course, money, right? The Clinton Foundation, we didn't get to that caller last night, but the Clinton Foundation was all about access to her and then Bill, what did he get, $500,000 to speak? And she was getting, I don't know, Chelsea was getting $80,000. You want to listen to Chelsea Clinton? And Hillary's getting, right, a few hundred thousand or whatever it was, and her entourage paid for on airplane shootings. You know, these people, Bill and Hillary of the people, of course, getting a fortune. They're after the money. I think they were, these people in Arkansas, we talked about this last night, I always thought they were very insecure, just the opposite. And so the money fills something up in them. And the power, of course. And you know, they're as elitist as they come. I think Hillary's going to run again. I think it's going to be fantastic. So that's part of what I was asking you. Who would you like to see run? And speaking of that, what a good segue. I did that in a good way. There's Randy in, how do you say, the Van Cleve, Minnesota? Yeah.
Mississippi.
Oh, Randy. Mississippi. I should know that as a
teacher. Hey, Mark, it's great to talk to you, man.
Same here.
It's great to talk to you.
And it's same here. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, and I've been listening to you all week, man, and you are a really pleasant guy. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And I also want to commend you on when you talk, I've listened to a lot of the phone calls you've had with the left. And, man, the way that you talk to them is inspiring. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, for me, it's really difficult to try to converse, you know, with a very differing opinion. And I just want to say, man, you've done a great job.
Well, thank you very much. And we never met, right?
Me and you? Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You asked about who we want to see challenge Trump. I want to see Hillary run. I want to see Hillary run, and I want him to beat her so bad in the election. Yeah. I mean, I think she wants a rematch, and I want her to have it. I want her to be their nominee, and I just want to see her just get beat really bad in the election. I think a lot of people on the left would shut up about this, not my president, and I don't know. I just want to see her. I just want her to be his opponent. But I'm serious about what I said, man. I have thoroughly enjoyed just your whole character. You just seem like a wonderful guy. And I really appreciate you. And I know that's not an easy thing to be, but you're doing wonderful. Anyhow,
thank you.
Man,
thank you very much.
You have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right.
Have a great night, Randy. Very kind words, Eric, and Gary will be back with you next week, and they do a terrific job, and they're the regular hosts. I'm just filling in and trying to do my share there. But I have a story on Hillary, and I want to get to that in a little while. How the Democrats really fear that she's going to run again. That's why the more I thought about it, the more I thought, that's my number one choice, not the others. You know, I'd love to see Avenatti. The guy's crazy. He's a loon. Tucker Carlson's phrase for him is not that bad, right? A sleazy porn lawyer. But let me know what you think. Andy in New York City, you're on with Mark. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just was, you know, interested why there's such a big talk about Saudi Arabia and what they did. You know, what they did was terrible, but you know, even if they were to do something small, that's all right. But they're making such a big uproar about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure that they have Saudi Arabia. You know, doesn't have the cleanest record. King Salman doesn't, for sure. And I mean, generally, we get involved in things abroad when it's in our interest. You know, when we can prevent, you know, bigger human rights, you know, crisis or you know, to expand our power abroad, you know, to protect us, you know, as you know, offense is the best defense. But in this case, I mean, he wasn't a U.S. citizen. He had a green card. You know, so if they did it, it is in our best interest to just, you know, they're a big player in the Middle East for us, you know, to protect us against Iran. So, like, well, you know, they help us out. So why, what's the big uproar about it? You know, they've done, yeah. sort of done things like this in the past that we've known about, you know, just, I guess, it wasn't so publicly, you know, I mean, this King Solomon, he lacked all his, you know, the princes in a hotel for a few months to make them pay ransom, saying he's not exactly a moderate, you know, he's not your regular guy. So, like, it's trying to understand that.
Well, let me see if I can add something to your thoughts about it. Look, it's always been a difficult jigsaw puzzle out there in the Middle East, right? Israel's our basic friend, and we can count on them. But the other players, you know, like Saudi Arabia, were more anti-Israel than they are now. They both have the coinciding interests in terms of Iran, trying to stop Iran. But I got to tell you, just the thought of it, maybe it's a visceral reaction. The idea that this guy goes in there, and I'm not trying to say anything great about him because he was a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, and, you know, they're enemies of ours, as they were in Egypt. So I'm not a big fan of what he believed in that sense. But to go in somewhere, be lured into an embassy, which is, you know, he's supposed to have special status when a country has an embassy in another country. It's theirs, their territory, their land. You're lured in there, and then you chop him up, and you assassinate him, and it's just so revolting to people. I think that's what's going on. Right. And you're right. It's a complicated situation because we need their oil and we need them to fight Iran. So it's a very difficult situation for President Trump. But just the thought, I must admit it got to me too. I felt badly for him, even though I think I wouldn't agree with him probably in many issues.
Yeah, but that's, you know, even if you don't agree with him, but getting killed like that is horrible. Even there should be, you know, definitely should be an uproar, and they should be condemned for it. But I mean, they really want a large scale. It seems like a large scale, you know, cutting off, you know, businesses and sanctioning. And I mean, I don't know if it's in America's best interest to do that. Like, just, you know, for this, even though it is a horrible incident, but for this alone, I don't think, you know, in the bigger picture, you know, to call for such a.
Yeah. Yeah, I cringed when you said cutting off business. That's bad in this story, but you're right. We need them. We need them badly, and that's why I say President Trump is in a very difficult situation. And there are people like Lindsey Graham, who was terrific in the Kavanaugh hearings, now saying, "Hey,
yeah.
I'm never going there again." While this guy's the prince is in power, and this is Marco Rubio. There are people on our side saying, We can't allow this to happen. You know, as crazy as it sounds, you have to have some civility in this crazy world, right? You don't want the president assassinated. You don't take out Putin even if you can. You don't do stuff like that. That's why the Kennedy thing, John F. Kennedy thing, was so outrageous. To this day, I'm one of the few talk show hosts, I should say it now, that does think there was a conspiracy. I was a little kid, but I followed this stuff, and you just don't do that. You just, you know, and I'm saying, I don't know if the Russians were involved or the mafia was involved. I don't know for sure. I'm not saying Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't involved. But, you know, there's something about you don't take out people. And that's why, by the way, taking out Gaddafi was so outrageous by Obama, because he was becoming our friend.
Right.
This is difficult. Yeah, so you get it. It was right. Didn't he write for the Washington Post and stuff?
Right.
You don't want people going to different countries and assassinating them. Go ahead.
I know. But I do feel. I mean, my impression is that, let's say, Russia. You know, they just recently had a story, you know, in England with their ex spy. I'm sure. You know, it's probably known. You know, in Washington, it's probably like, you know, known that a lot of many countries, you know, Russia, I'm sure Putin takes out, you know, he has people gun down his political opponents, you know, here and there. It's not uncommon, you know, so it's just interesting, the reaction, I guess, because it just became very, it's very public, publicly known, you know, the story.
Yeah, he goes in there, and wasn't his girlfriend waiting outside, and he said, you know, if I don't come out, you know, here's what you do, and he just disappears, and they made it worse. Don't we always say that it's not even the crime itself, but the cover up? And they said something, they were never, you know, they weren't involved. Then they came up with the story that it was an interrogation that went badly.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
Right. I'm sure they're pretty embarrassed.
Yeah, you get Yeah, this wasn't, by the way, I was mentioning my producer last night, this wasn't a job interview that he was going in for. That would be a job interview that went badly. No, that's incredible. I think people, even on our side, are reacting viscerally, and I don't blame them because I felt the same way. You chop them up. And when they brought, didn't they bring suitcases? It's reported, and, you know, how did they take his body out? I mean, I don't want to be gross that way on the air, but I think all of that stuff, you may be right, just the fact that we knew about it. There's always espionage. There's always dirty stuff going on. But this one, the way it played out, was not good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your call very much. How old are you, by the way?
Yeah, I'm 22.
Yeah, I thought you sounded young. Who's your choice on the Democrat side? Who would you like to see run against President Trump?
I'll tell you what, for the fun of it, I would love for Pocahontas to run. I think that would just be, you know, that would just be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I think she shot herself in the foot, right? Yeah, that wasn't very smart.
I bet you I'm related
to George Washington in some way. What are you saying? How many generations do you go back? We're all related to everybody if you go all the way back, right? She's got Indian heritage. I think she did what Ted Kennedy did. I think she's done. You're not going to get your wish. Great call, Andy. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night. And let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE, which is 866-907-3339. Markers, the filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Looking to purchase your own truck or trailer? Agile Financial Company may be able to help with financing. Eric Gifford with Agile tells us about the company and the process of getting approved.
We started back in 2004, 2008. We opened our first brick-and-mortar office, and we've been serving truckers through today with an A-plus business rating from the BBB. But we don't go by credit score. We actually look at their credit profile, experience in the industry, stability factor. So we treat them as a person, not a score. We look for the way to get them approved and into their own truck, especially the guys just starting out and getting into their first truck. Commercial trucks, the medium duty to the class 8 trucks, all type trailers of all types as well. Just not brand new equipment. We specialize in just the used equipment. Generally an approval within 24 to 48 hours. After that, depending on how fast the customer wants to move, they can be in their new truck in 3 to 7 days total. Go to Agile, A-G-I-L-E, truck. truck.com. Get an application printed out there. They sign it, fill it out completely, send it in to us along with the truck or trailer information that they're interested in, and we take off working for them from that point.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Back with you again, and you can reach me at 866-90-RED-EYE, welcoming your calls. And we're going to go to Derek in Detroit. Derek, you're on with Mark.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to comment on the journalist who allegedly was murdered, Khashoggi. Mm-hmm. I take great exception to Senator Graham's overwhelming concern about this situation. Mr. Khashoggi is not a constituent of any lawmaker, as far as I know. And whatever happened to him, if anything happened to him in a foreign land, quite frankly, is not the concern of any U.S. lawmaker. There are too many things happening in this country which are much more important than what happened to one individual or what may have happened to one individual in another country. For instance, there are children in this country who are victims of sex trafficking, sexual violence, et cetera. And you don't see too many federal lawmakers proposing laws to curtail that. Personally, I would like to see a law on the books that would make it a federal crime to victimize children, because they are one of the most innocent members of our society. And eventually these individuals are going to grow up to become adults. And if they're not protected as children, what type of adults can we expect them to turn out to be? Secondly, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I'm the type of person that can think outside the box and have an open mind. I would like to see the next president, whoever that is, be committed to righting a great wrong in this country. And we're talking about the result of the war on drugs, which put a lot of people in prison who shouldn't have been in prison by virtue of the color of their skin. If Mrs. Clinton were the next president, she needs to fix what her husband and the Congress that existed back then did.
Well, you know, you make a good point, especially on Saudi Arabia. We have a lot of problems, and we can't solve every problem around the world. Let me know what you think. I'm Mark Eisler, sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
At 866, as he said, 90-RED-EYE. I want to hear who your choice is, whatever side you're on, for the Democratic nomination for president against Donald Trump when the election takes place in 2020. And let's go to Brian in Jacksonville, Florida. Brian, how are you doing?
Hey, what's going on tonight, guys? Hey, you know, if I had a choice, which I've told my wife, I want Joe Biden. You know, I think it was a backdoor deal in 2016. The reason he didn't win in the beginning, not win, but didn't run. I think Hillary, him, and Barack sat down and said, okay, Hillary, I won't run in 16. It's all yours. This, you know, I just think, like you said, the Clintons are too conniving, and she wants that power. She's been with, you know, anyway, she's been with Bill, you know, that's a business deal between them two. It ain't no love, ain't no intimacy there.
Right.
That is a business deal, you know. But let me ask this question before I go, and I want the listener maybe to help me out. And,
sure.
You know, because my mind was just wondering, if Donald Trump is impeached, if they say Democrats that we win the House and the Senate, you know, he gets impeached, okay? Then we've got, with Pence become president, then we have the Speaker of the House becomes the Vice President. For the next election, though, with the Democrat, with the incumbent, which would be Pence run, or would they have another runoff for the Republican Party? And,
no. Pence would be the likely person to be nominated because he would have been in office unless he was a disaster. And he could pick whoever he wants to run with him as his vice presidential running mate. And it would be hard for anybody because that recognition, the incumbency of being president, is very difficult to defeat. It rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
So he would likely run and pick a vice presidential nominee to go with him. I'll get to you in a second. So people know, you said it correctly. The House impeaches the president, but then the Senate has to try the president, and they decide whether he gets thrown out of office. So Bill Clinton was impeached. A lot of people don't know this. He was impeached by the House, but the Senate wanted no part of it, so he never went through a trial or anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'll read you can get the House and the Senate. I'm looking at Nikki Haley. I'm from South Carolina, and she was governor there. And with her getting that 2 years experience of foreign policy, I can see Nikki Haley, because Republicans, man, you know, they are, you know, Trump, you know, I wouldn't mind Nikki Haley president, even though I'm a Democrat. Know why? I'm tired of the White House looking like a reality show. You got King Kanye West, and that's crazy because I'm black and I can't even say his name. But I don't really, you know, it's just like he, that whole,
Kanye
showed no respect for the office, and I'm a black man. I'm like, bro, I mean, if you go to see the President of the United States, regardless who is in office, you put on a suit and tie. Oh, my gosh. It was just in, who speaks for 10 minutes to the President of the United States of America? Who allows this? Come on, Republicans, Democrats, this is weird. Our White House looks like a mockery. Oh, my gosh, man. All right, guys, I'm infuriated by that.
Brian, I'm on your side. You may not know this, but Ronald Reagan would never go into the White House, I mean the Oval Office, without his jacket and tie on. So you and I are in sync. Who's your choice? Did you say already who your choice was for Democrat? You didn't say Biden, did you?
I want Joe Biden, but what about that Kennedy boy? I like that little Kennedy boy. He spoke real well. I don't know.
Wait a second. You sound so nice. I got to challenge you. You don't know this, but a few years ago on national radio, I said, let's make a deal. No more Kennedys, no more Bushes. That we have over 330 million people. Can't we find someone whose name is not Bush or Kennedy? So would you give me that? No more Kennedys. We're done.
give me Joe Biden. All right. Give me Joe Biden.
You got Joe Biden.
Thanks so much. I don't think the country, Michelle, is they would like it, but that's just, give me Joe Biden. We need to return the office back to, hey, let's get back down to straight, you know, honorable. To me, say what you want, man. It's just being a run of a mockery, you know.
Well, you do know, you may not know, that Joe Biden did plagiarize in his college, you know, stealing someone else's work and not giving them credit. So, you know, he's not totally innocent himself. He's done his stuff.
Well, you know, hey, you're a delight. In college, I think I did the same thing in college. You tell me.
Yeah, but you're not. Wait, you're not running for president, though. Hey, listen, Brian. If you listen to me enough, I think I can move you over to my side a little bit because you sound like a really nice guy.
Hey.
Thanks, Brian. Huh?
Have
a great night.
Have a good one. You too. Okay, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye. I think we have a chance with him. Look, there he is saying that you shouldn't go into the Oval Office like Kanye West did. You know, you don't talk to the president for 10 minutes. This guy's got values. More values than Kanye West did, obviously. Yeah, I agree with that. And, of course, we know some of the stuff that's gone on in the Oval Office. That's why I mentioned President Reagan wouldn't walk in there without his suit and tie. And I've learned, I'm not always great at this, that as much as you guys who are Democrats can't stand Donald Trump or George Bush, for that matter, I felt the same way about Obama. But I know, I've learned, if he walked into the room, you give credit to the office of the President of the United States, and you stand. You don't have to like him. If I didn't, then I couldn't wait for him to get out of office. But that's part of the respect. Now, here's the next call I want. We have time, don't we? Yeah, we have time. Let's go to Jim in Dallas. Jim, you're on with Mark.
How you doing, Mark?
Well.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, listen, I'd like to throw out this idea, not because he had a chance of winning, but just because it'd be really fun during the debates. That'd be Michael Moore.
He's a character, though.
Yeah, I know. He and Trump would just go at it hammer and gong, and I think it'd be great. I don't think he'd campaign worth anything, but I just I think the debates would be really great.
You may not have heard this story. This is true. He's on tape, and we had him on tape on the other show I work on. They said to him one day, "Okay, you don't like capitalism. So what system would you replace it with?" And he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said something like, well, we haven't found it yet. He just knows capitalism is no good, but he hadn't found it yet. What do you mean you haven't found it yet? You got to replace something with, you know, nothing? I like you. Now you're getting in the spirit. Some of you guys are getting in the spirit when you suggest Michael Moore.
Can I throw out one more thing real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
If we're going to investigate the president or Shah or whatever it is of Saudi Arabia, why don't we go and look at all those mysterious deaths of the associates of Hillary Clinton? I'd really like to find out, is that just a coincidence or is there something more to it?
what's his name? And I have a friend who writes about this all the time. You know, I mean, the guy in the Clinton administration that supposedly Vince Foster. He writes, this guy I know, he writes all the time that there's a lot of mysterious stuff that went on with Vince Foster, of course. And by the way, life is funny. Did you guys know that Kavanaugh was a part of that investigation in some way?
Wow.
So, you know, isn't life funny how it works? You know, think the circle gets filled or whatever you want to say.
Well, it's not just Vince Foster. I've seen a list of dozens of people that were associates of the Clintons, especially Hillary's, and just mysteriously met their demise.
These are Bill and Hillary are characters. A lot of stuff happened in Arkansas. You are right, now that I'm being serious about it. People met their unfortunate demise, and these people would step over anybody. I heard the story. I had him on my television show. I had a television show, and I think I remember his name, Larry Patterson. He was one of the state troopers that guarded Bill Clinton.
Oh.
And he said, and he said that when he would be in the car with Bill Clinton and someone would be in the back seat and they'd say, you know, Governor, I really want that to be that commissioner in your administration. And Bill would say to him, that'll cost you $50,000. And he said to me, Mark, not many weeks or months later, someone else would ask for the same commission. He'd say, that'll be $50,000. These guys were out for power and money. It was something else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they used that Clinton Foundation just to, they racked up countless millions in that thing.
Yeah, are you kidding me? They did it because she's such a great speaker and Chelsea's a great speaker and Bill is phenomenal. Half $1 million to speak. I think I would take a little bit less than that. People said I do pretty well, but I don't get anywhere near that. I'm quitting this job, and I'm going to work for the Clinton Foundation.
That was just a bribe factory. Jim. That's all that was. Yep.
Yeah, that was. Hey, Jim, thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
I kind of like that. Michael Moore. Can you imagine Michael Moore and Donald Trump? Well, that's part of the problem. And I'm going to get to your calls that there are a lot of people who are running or want to run, but there's no one outstanding. Now, yeah, Biden's got the name. And if Hillary ran again, of course, she has the name. But there's no one outstanding. Now, you could say, well, neither was Donald Trump. Right. None of us expected, I can't say none of us, I certainly didn't expect him to get the nomination, let alone win. I thought he was down at the bottom. That I said Kasich was worse than him. I couldn't stand John Kasich. But I liked what he said, but I thought, nah, there's no way this guy could win. So you never know. Could get someone unexpected. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Mark Eisler filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Mark Eisler back with you again. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. And then Eric and Gary will be back with you on Sunday night, Monday morning. And let's go to Tom in Odessa, Delaware. My son is in Dover, Delaware, in the Air Force. How far is that?
About 30 miles.
Okay.
I was Air Force also.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, my pleasure. On Joe Biden, I thought he was very obnoxious when they were doing the hearings for Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill, and he was calling, he didn't want to have the FBI investigate that, and then all of a sudden with Kavanaugh, he was calling for FBI investigation, but he's just so obnoxious.
Yeah, I agree. But that other caller, he was so nice. He made a number of mistakes, not mistakes, but we disagree on Biden. He likes him a lot, but I was giving him his chance. He also said that, what's his name, that Speaker of the House becomes Vice President. I didn't want to interrupt him on that. That's not what happens. And if you remember with Ford and Rockefeller, they get to, you know, Gerald Ford got to pick who he wanted. But look, to me, he's obnoxious. But if you're on the other side, he's got the most votes in terms of right now. But that could be name recognition. But I agree with you. He could be pretty obnoxious. But there's a whole crew. Is there anybody there? Let me think. I never asked that question. Is there someone on the list I read? I don't know if you heard me the first hour. Is there someone, as I look down the names, that I like personally? Oh, I got someone. I think Bernie Sanders is a nice guy. He's very foolish. He's not way out on the left, but I think, you know, I would enjoy, you know, he's probably a pleasant fellow. Do you agree with that?
Oh, no, I can't stand him either. But
but wait, I didn't ask you about his views. Doesn't he look like he might be a nice guy that you could, I mean, he's crazy. He you know, his views are so far out there. I'm just looking at the list. There's nobody else I like. I'm trying to think of someone I could say I like. I don't like Oprah Winfrey, not that she's going to run. I'm looking at the names here. Michael Avenatti? Are you kidding me? So you got to give the other side some credit. I think Bernie's probably the nice chance to be the nicest. It's not going to be Spartacus Booker. It's not going to be Eric Holder or a Pocahontas. Go ahead.
I wouldn't trust Bernie Sanders loaning him my wheelbarrow.
But, really?
Yeah. Oh,
so I have
one last.
You help. Go ahead. You go.
Oh, I apologize. But a long time ago, they had an article in the newspaper here in Delaware. Joe Biden, he has a house up in Wilmington, Delaware. And he was charging the Secret Service. They had a place where they guard his house. And they were, some of them stay over there. I guess there was a guest house, I think. And he was charging them rent. Which I thought was just outrageous. You know, they were.
I think I heard that.
Helping to guard him.
Yeah.
And he was charging him rent for his shack or whatever.
Well, at least, unlike Hillary threw a lamp. Well, maybe the lamp was for Bill. But, you know, I don't. Yeah, these guys are not very gracious. People who are willing to defend them and save their lives. Yeah, you got a good point. I heard that, I think, that he was charging them. He needs the money. He's not, you know, like Hillary. He has no foundation.
Oh, and Hillary, I think I heard, I read where she threw a Bible at a Secret Service guy in the back of his head in the limousine.
You got to say that these people have a lot of class on the other side. I don't know. They certainly wouldn't say Donald Trump has a lot of class, so I got to be fair to both sides. Let me know what you think. 866-90-RED-EYE. Mark us. They're filling in on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler, this is Red Eye Radio.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again, and you can reach him at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. To catch up, if you're just joining us, we're picking a possible Democrat nominee to run against President Trump. Whichever side you're on, seem like a number of votes for Joe Biden, and then there's some people would love to choose someone that they like, Michael Moore, that they know they can beat easily, or they want to see Trump run against them. But then something came up at the last hour that triggered another question I want to ask you. Which of the candidates, and I let's see, I have my partial list. What did I do with my other list? From Mayor Garcetti, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Avenatti, Montana Governor Steve Bullock, you know, the obvious ones from Pocahontas to Joe Biden to Spartacus Booker to Kamala Harris. I'm probably leaving Cuomo. I'm leaving some people out. Who would you like? Who's nice? Who do you, Bernie Sanders, if I didn't say him, because that's what I suggested to a caller. I think I could sit down with Bernie and have a Coke or something like that with him, and there's nothing we would agree on. He seems like a nice guy, but the caller that I was talking to said, no, I never could sit down with him. So that's the second question. Is there anybody on the other side, no matter what side you're on, could you sit down with Donald Trump? I actually heard he's a nice guy, that he's got a different persona. Don't get mad at me. I'm not saying he's not a nice guy, that I don't support his views, but he comes across pretty bombastic and right. So there's lots of things that maybe some of us wish he wouldn't say. But they say he's very soft-spoken, and in private he's really nice. I know people have met him, and he sounds different. So no matter which side you're on, could you sit down and be friendly the way I mentioned last night that Ronald Reagan did with the former Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill? They would have drinks on a Friday night or whatever, and Reagan was surprised that Tip O'Neill would be so viciously against him during the daytime. And he said, well, that's the daytime. But it's gotten so bad now that we can't acknowledge that maybe someone on the other side is okay. Now, I admit, if as they appear to me, Cory Booker, I mean, what a phony. He's so full of himself. He made that up about he's going to divulge some information even though he's going to get prosecuted. He knew he wasn't. He just had gotten a memo or something from McConnell, the other leader, saying he can go ahead and talk about it. And Kamala Harris, I know stuff about her. Well, what a phony. What another self. So I understand that some of them it would be hard to sit down with. And I don't know that much about Mayor Garcetti, but I'm not impressed by him. But maybe some of them you could sit. So I'd like to hear that, too. 866-90-RED-EYE, that's 866-907-3339. Who could you be friendly with? And number one question was, who would you like to see run against President Trump, no matter what side you're on? So let's go now to Joe in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You're on with Mark. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. How's your night going so far?
Real well.
Good. I've been listening to you the last couple of nights, and I like a lot of what you say. I do have to take exception to one thing that you brought up with mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton. You said it would be bad for the country if we prosecuted her. And I'm sorry, but what are we teaching our kids? That if you have money and influence, you can get away with anything as long as it's good for the country? I think what's good for the country is to teach our children that nobody, no matter how much money, how much power they have, is above the law, as the Democrats were screaming during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. They wanted, we have to prosecute, we have to impeach, we have to do this. Well, you know what? She doesn't get a free pass on this. I'm sorry. And I was really surprised to hear you say that. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, after you talk, I'm on your side. It's not that I'm so strong. She deserves to be prosecuted. I can't stand the woman. But I was just saying, and I know what you're going to say. I'm actually on your side. There'd be riots in the street, right? But we have that now. And she deserves to be prosecuted.
Yeah, they're already outraged. Yeah. Strike while the iron's hot. Rip the Band-Aid off and get it done and over with. You know, we're teaching our children that if you have enough money and influence, you can get away with murder, literally. You can get away with treason. How many treasonous counts? But, we'll give her a free pass because we don't want riots in the street. Give me a break.
No, I can't argue with you because it depends when you talk to me. I'm on your side half the time. I'm just looking at the other side thinking, really, do we really want to make it worse? Is it going to get worse? You heard what I said. I made an offer on national radio months and years ago. Actually, it was a couple of years ago. I said it a few times. How about they just go away? If they sign something promising, I'd never hear from them again, Bill, Hillary, and if you could throw in Obama, wouldn't that be worth something, not to listen to Barack Obama?
I'd pay for the plane ticket, but, I don't see that happening. I think they're still trying to manipulate and dominate, and I think, I'd love to see her run. I'd love to see her run because I think Trump's got enough starch in his britches to go after her and do it right this time. But on another hand, you're asking who I'd like to see run. One of the things people talk about Trump and the way he speaks and all that, when I go in for brain surgery, I don't care what the guy speaks like. I don't care if he tweets, bleats, whatever. I just care that he's good with a knife. And Trump is good at what he's doing. He is rocking the place. I don't care what he says in the middle of the night. I really don't. I think it's great that he's end-running the liberal press and beating them to the punch and getting his word out before they get a chance to twist it. And I think that as long as he's good with the knife, like a surgeon, I don't care what his bedside manner's like.
Yeah, you said you've been listening to me, and that's what I said. I just care what he does. He's totally shocked me how good he is, and I think he's been a great president. I said that the other night. I love what he's done, and I don't care what he says. I care what you said it for me, like a pilot. You might like the story. So I'm on a plane one day, and the pilot announces that it's the first day for the flight attendant. So she comes down, and people are greeting her and applauding her. And when she gets to me, I said, better you than the pilot. It was going to be someone's first day. Better her. So I don't care so much what he says. You're right. But what he does, and in that sense, you're totally right. And I got to tell you this, Joe, when people would yell, lock her up, I kind of liked that, too. She deserved it.
Well, it's rule of law. We keep preaching rule of law. Well, it's about time that we stood up and, you know, maybe it's going to hurt. Maybe it's going to cause a little pain for a while. But you're at least standing with a degree of integrity for what you believe in. And that's where I come from on that one.
You said it very
with you while I'm here.
Absolutely. As soon as I tease you, can I tease you a little bit first?
Sure.
Okay, I'm sending Antifa. I'm giving them your address.
Send them. Send them.
go ahead.
We're an armed camp up here. We don't care.
Okay. What was your next point?
I'm in the county next to the one that upset the election. We're Lackawanna County. We're right north of Luzerne County. That everybody blamed for getting Trump elected, but that's okay. I can answer the border wall issue real quick in 30 seconds. You have locks on your door at your house?
Right.
Why do you have locks on your door? You want to keep bad people out. And then when somebody knocks on your door, you say, who are you? And what do you do? And why should I let you in? I expect nothing less of the people who are running our country. This country is my home. I want somebody to lock the stinking doors on it and don't let people in that are bad actors. It's that simple. And when people say, the wall, yeah, you got locks on your doors, unlock your doors. If you don't think we need walls and immigration reform, unlock your doors. Let anybody walk in your house because this is my home.
Well, the only thing I have to say to you is you gave yourself away because you said you've been listening every day. But you didn't listen all 5 hours because someone suggested that yesterday.
Well, I'm at work. I'm working. I'm driving here, so I can't cover everything.
I'm teasing you. And someone said, hey, right, why do you have locks on your door? And, of course, we've mentioned a lot of these Hollywood liberals and others. They have mansions, and, of course, they have gates. You didn't hear this call yesterday. A guy called me, hear this, and he said, walls never work. In the course of history, it's proven walls don't work.
That part I did hear.
Oh, you did hear that? Walls don't work. So what do you have at your house, right? What do you have a door on, right? Why is Israel so successful, let alone the Berlin Wall, as someone called up and reminded me? So that's craziness. Stu and I kept saying to him, if you heard it, he kept saying, well, not in the long run. I said, the short run, they want to save their lives. I don't care about the long run right now.
Yeah.
Right? We want a wall to protect us.
A young Indian man running a gas station came to me and screamed at me, what is Trump doing? What is Trump doing? My father wants to come. I said, is your father an outlaw? Is he a criminal? No, he's welcome. Come through the front door instead of sneaking in the back door like a thief in the night. Go through the process and come to our country and be a productive citizen. Oh, yeah. He looked at me like, wait a minute. Nobody told me that part, you know?
Yeah, right. You may appreciate it. Maybe I'll talk about teaching tomorrow night. But as a teacher, the students most often say to me, I never heard that. They never hear our side. They hardly ever hear it, and they've never been challenged. But here's your final thing. So who would you choose on the Democrat side that you'd like to see run against Trump?
I really don't see a credible body anywhere. But if I'd probably Joe Biden.
Okay, and the other question, I forgot the second question was, is there any of them that you could sit down with and have a soda with or a cup of coffee?
Mark, I'm firm in my convictions. Some people call it stubborn, but I'm firm in my convictions. A lot of people I wore a Make America Great hat into work. A woman looked like she was going to throw up and then flipped me off. I can talk to anybody. Civil discourse is how we do things. And it seems like that's been thrown out the window. I'll sit down and talk with anybody. I love to hear different opinions and input. You know, it's how we do things, you know?
Joe, you've been
you
a great call.
Stability,
thank you.
What do you have?
You've been terrific.
Your time.
Thanks so much. Hey, same thing, Joe. And let me know what you think, 866-90-RED-EYE. And as I said, I'd love to hear from you if you disagree with me. I think it makes it much more interesting. But I also want you to answer, who could you sit down with? I picked Bernie. I may have taken the only one, but someone didn't like that either. 866-907-3339, Mark Eisler, filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Mark, I still back with you again and taking your calls at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Remember, there are two questions on the table. One, who would you like to see run against President Trump, no matter what side you're on? And who could you sit down and have a cup of coffee with? A long list. I admit it's difficult if you're on one side or the other. So I guess if you're on the Democrat side, you could say Trump or Pence, I guess, or someone his administration will allow that in the rules. And speaking of who you'd like, let's go and see who Philip likes in Cleveland. Philip, you're on with Mark.
Mark, good evening to you. I want to, first of all, say something, refer to something that was said a while ago about if Trump were out and Pence became vice president, that the Speaker of the House would become vice president. That's not the way it works. Speaker of the House is second in line to the presidency after the vice president.
He's actually third. He's third, right, after the vice president. You may not have heard me. I corrected that in the last hour. I just didn't want to interrupt him at the time.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
What also would scare me a little bit if Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House. That would really be a scary thing for that to happen. But anyway, I'll talk about the Democratic nominee. You know, Joe Biden did copy the speech of Neil Kinnock, a British.
That's what it was. Yeah, I mentioned he plagiarized the. Yeah, I didn't remember the name
that
of
thing.
The guy.
Almost word for word there. I tell you who I would, and I'm a conservative, but who I would think would be a good person to run on the Democrat side would be.
Did we lose
and
you?
He's a former Secretary of the Navy, served under a Republican president, and but
who was that? We didn't catch it. You got cut off. Who was that?
Jim Webb.
Okay.
He's a former senator, and he's a former Secretary of the Navy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would have a chance. He didn't have much chance last time because the Democrat Party has so moved away from men like him. Sam Nunn was a former senator that I could have voted for and looked at seriously as a presidential candidate, even though I'm not a Democrat. But he wouldn't even be acceptable to today's Democrat Party. But someone I would like to see get in there is Jim Webb. He's a good man, has good instincts, and is able to work across the aisle sincerely and to do things. He worked for a Republican president as a Secretary of the Navy.
Of the people who announced, could you pick one of them to sit down and have a cup of coffee with?
I'd love to have a cup of coffee with Bernie Sanders. I think it would be a great. I would enjoy that. I would enjoy if he would let me talk and if he would listen and not just demagogue everything. I like him, his personality. I don't like anything that he believes in, but it would be a great time to have coffee.
Do you know what Lindsey Graham said about? Do you know what Lindsey Graham said about Bernie Sanders? I'll tell you a little. I always have these stories. Bernie Sanders got married in the Soviet Union, and some people think he never came back.
That's funny. That is funny.
I thought you liked. Hey, Philip, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Take care, Mark. Good program.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Oh, and here's someone who's going to answer me right away. Dee in Las Vegas, you're on with Mark.
Yeah, I think the one I would want to have coffee with is Dina Titus. Now, she ran for governor here and lost by only 200 votes or so. And she was a school teacher and a sensible woman. And I really don't think that Dina Titus could approve of all these dirty tricks and terrible things the Democrats are doing. There's just no way. And I predict she's going to switch party affiliations soon as this election stuff is over, because I'm sure she's just as appalled as a lot of us, because that is just not acceptable. And she was raised better than that, I know. So, yeah, if I was going to have coffee with someone, it'd be Dina, because there's just no way in the world she could approve of any of this. Okay?
Well, except for one thing, Dee, and I appreciate your call. You didn't follow the rules. The game was you had to pick someone running for president. Not that I know her, and I didn't know some of the other candidates running. I certainly didn't know them well. But the game was you had to pick someone who's running for president and say who you would sit down and have coffee with. And I, the other gentleman agreed with me, Bernie Sanders. I think he's ahead right now, so we got to hear your votes. Let us know what you think at 866-90-RED-EYE. But right now, you have your national forecast for VDO Roadlock.
Weather highlights around the nation today. Persistent rain is expected for the next few days over Texas, where excessive rain is possible in the central part of the state. Wintry precipitation over the higher elevations of Arizona and New Mexico is expected to spread northward into the central Rockies. Temperatures 20 to 40 degrees below normal from the southern plains into the southern Rockies under persistent clouds and precip. Santa Ana winds in southern California over the next several days should gradually abate. Around the horn, we've got New York City checking in with sunshine for later today and 60 the high. Chicago only 47 today. Atlanta 71 with showers. Dallas showers and 59. Now, that'll beat yesterday's high of in the high 40s for Dallas. Los Angeles will see sunny skies, high today 82. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Mark Eisler, and Gary and Eric will be back with you Sunday night, Monday morning. I want to know who's your choice for a president running against Trump and who you would have coffee with. Mark Eisler on Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Mark Eisler.
Yeah, it's Mark back with you again and taking your calls. And let's go to Ron in New York City. You're on with Mark.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening, Mark.
Well, good evening, Ron.
Okay. Listen, you were talking about candidates, potential Democratic candidates for whatever office against the presidency, VP. We've got two very real possibilities here in the Northeast. We have, number one, we have the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo,
sure.
The son of Mario Cuomo, former governor. Quite a legacy. His pop was governor, now he's governor. And now you have Michael Bloomberg, who, if you realize the latest reports, he switched sides. He's no longer a Republican. He's now a Democrat officially.
Oh, I thought he was an independent for a while, so he became a Democrat, huh?
Yeah, he went Republican, independent, and back and forth. Now he's apparently a Democrat. Basically, you read it into the fine print of it, and you realize that he's taking up the slack for failed Democratic leaders who could not convey a proper impression to the Democrats or to the public as to what they were. I mean, you got Hillary Clinton, who was a complete train wreck, and you had Bernie Sanders, who was a complete fraud. But the credibility issue with Michael Bloomberg is very good, because the man is also, if you look at, compare him on a scale, you know, put them on both in a lineup, they have the same thing in common. They've got very broad experience with city and state and federal governments. They know what they're talking about. Also, they're quite affluent. They're very rich people. And their heads are screwed on in a similar, but shall we say, different direction. I won't say opposite, but different. And my fear personally is that if Michael Bloomberg is elected to the presidency of the United States, we're going to have a very strange turnaround of events where I suspect he will bring in his own agenda. And at the same time, it's not a bad agenda, but he will alter the premise on which the current president, Donald Trump, is proceeding. And if he does that, and God knows what can happen. But I think those are the only two candidates that are viable because they're popular throughout the Northeast and the Midwest, I might add, especially with Michael Bloomberg.
Really? I can understand that they're popular maybe in New York, but I don't think it carries far past that. But maybe, I don't know. I don't think they're even known in the Midwest. Yeah, Cuomo is as the governor, but I don't think Bloomberg is. Are these your two people you support, by the way?
Yeah, and as to the real quick, I know you're pressed for time, but the previous callers who tirated the idea of Hillary getting away with murder, listen, you want the honest truth of it. No doubt she whispered to a potential prosecutor that if you bring me down, I've got a black book of 100 names and maybe 200 names, and I'll bring them down, and they're key people in Congress and Senate. People who basically made her way easier for her.
Well, I wouldn't hold that past Hillary, although the word was that she had stuff on Obama. I don't know that she has stuff on lots of other people, but knowing her, I wouldn't argue with you on that. Could you sit down? Could you name a Republican you could sit down, and don't count Bloomberg, that you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with?
Quite frankly, very few and far in between. I would say that Lindsey Graham strikes me as a very profound man. He's a really decent guy, and he's got a heart, and he's got a mind, and he's got a compassion for the people of this country. He is a Republican, correct? So,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
I would think that ideally he'd make a great VP minimum. At minimum, he'd make a great VP as opposed to look at Trump. Trump is very wise. He chose Pence as his VP. And it's great insurance to have a man like that behind you. So if anything ever, God forbid, goes dramatically wrong, you can't resolve, you've got it. You've got a man who can step into your shoes and probably do just as well as you did.
Well, Ron, you're very articulate, and you, when I challenged you for Republican, you did very well. So I appreciate your call.
Thanks, sir.
And you have a great night. Thanks so much. And let's go to, we have time, right? Yeah, Ken, is that Hammond, Indiana?
Yeah, I wanted to speak to the question of prosecuting Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. You know, in much of the world, if you lose an election, you got one of two choices. You either leave the country or you go to jail, or worse, right? One of the reasons we're a stable democracy is because there are certain political norms that we don't violate. Set aside the possibility of the Democrats going through 10 years of Donald Trump's tax returns after he leaves office. Think back to the Bush administration. A lot of people thought that the enhanced interrogation was unlawful, right? So I don't think we want to get into a pattern where the incoming administration prosecutes the leaders of the former administration, the leaders of the other party, because our politics have become too hostile as it is. We need to take a step back and understand that there are certain traditions that are critical to our having the stable democracy that we have, and rule of law is only one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting point because, a lot of people on the other side think she shouldn't be above the law. But as you point out, she has a unique position of also having been the opposing candidate, which, of course, doesn't explain what the FBI and the Justice Department did with a soft coup trying to get rid of the incoming president. So this is a very complicated situation, and she may have been
part of that. That's just his Justice Department, though. But I would give you one further illustration of my point. After the Civil War, right, the Confederates had committed treason, had obviously committed treason, yet we did not try to lock them up because it was more important than the rule of law that we come back together.
Good point, Ken. I said, you may not have heard me, I said, whoever talks to me last, I didn't quite say that, but that's what I was thinking on this issue with Hillary. You made a good point. That's a great point with the Civil War. I appreciate. Oh, who could you have coffee with on the other side, or so?
I would
whatever.
Probably. I would probably lean toward Ben Sasse.
Uh huh. Yeah, he's a bright guy. Yeah. He thinks things through. Good. You did. You passed the test. You did very well. Thanks so much. Here I am. I can't stand with Tucker Carlson. If you ever watched that on Fox News, he's got these people answering questions in the news. That's kind of dumb. But this is interesting because could you get along with people the way it used to be with Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan? Get along with people of the opposing party and get away from the politics for a little while because you at least respected them. Speaking of respecting them, let's go to Lynn in Pittsburgh. Lynn, you're on with Mark.
Well, you know, I had a rude awakening this morning. I woke up and my radio was still on, and I heard Righteous Joe and his dissertation on how basically you can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and why you should be able to get away with it. But as Hillary is concerned, I kind of sign on to the previous caller just right before me. If she really had broken the law and been found guilty, then certainly she should be locked up. But Righteous Joe, that sounded like a polluted, twisted, demonic rant. And it, when I hear people like him talking, it makes me wish that the Native Americans of this country had had bars on the shores of this country to keep his nasty, lazy, hateful ancestors out of this country. And would like to have coffee with on the other side, even though I disagree with most of her politics, as a progressive myself, that would be Lisa Murkowski. Because that woman, she's a strong woman. She's an example to women on my side. Now that's a woman with some integrity and character and strength, and she's a badass.
Would you have said that if she voted for Kavanaugh's nomination?
No, I'm thinking about some of her actions over a period of time. I remember when there was a little scrape with Trump, and she says she wasn't going to live in fear of a tweet. Wow, that really knocked me back. I was really impressed with that. So she showed that she's a woman of strength and character, and she's not going to be bullied by anybody on either side. So
before I let you go, who's your choice? Who's your choice for the Democrat nomination?
Well, I haven't decided yet. I would like for some of the old, you know, the old timers to just step aside. Here in my state, we have someone that a lot of people are liking. His name is Connor Lamb, and I really like for would like for more people like him to rise. And I don't want to see Joe Biden run again. I think that he's had a history of saying some stupid things, and I would not like to see him run again. He's a good guy, but some of these people just need to step out of the way and let a new crop of progressives come through.
Yeah, great point, Lynn. I appreciate your call, especially on the other side. By the way, talking about stepping aside, so you got Nancy Pelosi in her 70s. Clyburn, I think, is third in line. Steny Hoyer's in his 70s. They're all in their 70s. Nothing wrong with that, except for, as she was saying, a lot of people would like, there was an article about, I don't know if it was the Times or where it was, about people stepping aside for the younger generation. Problem is, in the House, if you serve in the House and you don't chair a committee, you're just, it's not a very, interesting life to lead, you know? I mean, I'd love to be a congressman if you appoint to me tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm compared to the other positions there. But the Democrats have that problem, too. Let me know what you think. So we're asking two questions. Who's your choice to run against President Trump? And who could you sit down and have a cup of coffee with? You guys are surprising me. It just evolved, that question. But you're surprising me because you're picking people on the other side that you admire, or at least could sit down and talk with. So let me know what you think about that, too. Mark Eisler sitting in on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Mark Eisler back with you again, taking your calls and two questions out there. Who would you like to have coffee with? It's become more of my favorite than even who you'd like to see run, because it says something about you being open to talking with people, as Reagan was with Tip O'Neill. I know things have changed, but that'd be nice. I came up with Bernie. I don't know if the other guy said to me, I talked to him, but would he listen or do you just keep on going? You're right, he may just keep on going. Jack in Farmington Hills, Michigan, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Pleasure is mine.
I'd like to tell you who I'd like to pick for Democrat president and vice president. I'd like to see Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro for president, and I'd like him to pick Rosie O'Donnell as his running mate. And most people would agree that they're two of the biggest Trump haters in the country. And I just couldn't wait for a day when he's debating the president and he says, F you, Donald Trump. He shocks the nation and loses in a landslide, which is why I would pick those two, because they can't control themselves.
Well, now you're on the spot, though. So who's seriously running could you sit down and have a Coke or a cup of coffee with?
Well, you know, there's only two Democrats I know of that are, you know, open-minded enough to do that. That would be Joe Manchin or Joe Lieberman, who they ran out of the party because he was too moderate.
I know, but you didn't follow the rules. You had to pick someone running for president.
Oh, I thought it was anybody.
No, you don't get off that easily. You got to pick someone running for president. There are a lot of them. It's not that there's no one running. Did you hear me mention there are about 15 of them that I know of?
The web guy that ran in the last election.
Is he running?
Go ahead. Now?
Yeah.
He didn't even get 1% of the vote last time around, so I guess not. But somebody else picked him.
You guys are cheating. You can't pick someone who's not running.
All right. Well, I don't think there's anyone running who I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with. They're all leftists.
There's a famous talk show
in the afternoon where they say you can't negotiate with these people. They don't want to cross the aisle. They just want to get rid of Republicans. So all you can do is beat them at the ballot box.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys don't want to follow the rules of the game. Hey, Jack, I appreciate it.
Let me bring up something totally different, real quick.
Real quick.
I'm so tired of Democrats bringing up the race card during every election. So if I was running and somebody brought up the race card, I would say, "Are you a Democrat?" And they'd say, "Well, of course I am." And I'd say, "Well, don't you know that 100% of the slaves were owned by Democrats?"
Yeah, you're a tough guy, but we'll take your calls. Mark Issa filling in on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.